January 22nd. Will please come to order. I'd like to note that Representative Davis, Representative Moreau, Representative Herman, Representative Schultz, Representative Cater in attendance. It is 7:02. We're 2 minutes late. We have before us a bill sponsored by Representative Miller, Representative Gall, Representative Sun, and Representative Duncan. The bill having to do, if you'll notice in your packet, an act authorizing the ferry system to transport certain items for charitable organizations without charge. You'll notice also in your packet we have a work draft which has an amendment on it. Representative Miller, would you like to speak to your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. If you don't mind, I'll just bring my coffee with me.
Please do.
At this hour, it's a necessity. Well, thank you, and I appreciate the attention of the Transportation Committee this early today and this early in the session. It's very much appreciated. This bill came about as a result of a conversation I had with the commander of the head of the Salvation Army unit here in Juneau. He has since left, but the need he outlined remains, and that is for the transportation of goods for charitable purposes, for giving away on the Southeast Alaska Ferry System. I suppose that, for that matter, on the South Central Ferry System, too. I invite your attention to two things. First of all, it's only on a space available basis. If a van is loaded with clothes to be given away to the needy and it's going over to Hoonah and the ferry is loaded, then the van doesn't get aboard that sailing. A full-pane truck or tourist or anybody with a vehicle that's paying the fare will take that space, and that's the way it should be. But if space is available, and only if space is available, then the van can be loaded on. You, Madam Chair, yesterday in our conversation identified a hole that I'm certainly glad that you noticed, and that is we should limit this, I'm sure, to just intra-Alaska. On a space available basis, you might be able to say you could make the same argument out of Seattle. It's only space available anyway. But what difference does it make? I think, first of all, space isn't all that readily available anyway out of Seattle, and I don't particularly think we ought to be raising expectations that people, even for charitable purposes, could send their goods all the way from Seattle up here. I think what we could end up having is a whole lineup of charitable goods sitting in the docks down there waiting for space that would never happen, and it just doesn't make any sense. And that isn't where the need is. The need is to get charitable goods for distribution to the needy out of Ketchikan over to Prince of Wales Island, perhaps, or from Juneau to perhaps one of the villages around here. I'll just repeat again that it is a space available situation. I'm advised that the department opposes this bill, and I'm sorry they do. I guess that doesn't surprise me a great deal. They also opposed the transportation of senior citizens on the ferry system, and maybe there is a cost associated with this. I suppose whenever you put anything on board a ferry, you increased the consumption of fuel by a minuscule amount, and you've increased the workload of the attendant on the ferry by, I would say a very small amount. Those people are on duty anyway. So I suppose there is no free lunch. So I suppose there is a minuscule cost associated with it, but I think it'll be so small that it'll be very difficult to determine. But the need is the thing. There are people that in some of the villages and some of the smaller communities that are in need of perfectly good clothing, for instance, and there are people in this community and in other communities in Southeast Alaska who want to give that clothing to those people, and yet the people who are willing to do that don't have the wherewithal to spend money, perhaps more than the clothing's worth, in transporting it over. So this is just simply a vehicle that would say whenever there's space available on there, the Salvation Army, for instance, could drive its van on board, send it over, unload it, and on the next ferry, bring it back. With that, Madam Chair, I'd like to invite the representatives of the Salvation Army who are present to outline to you what the need is, as opposed to the mechanics of the bill, which I've just mentioned.
Are there any questions to Representative Miller? I know, for instance, that your bill, Representative Miller, says that may contain only clothing and household furnishings. This doesn't mean groceries or anything like that.
Just to keep it simple, we limited this as the need was outlined to me by the captain early on. It was primarily clothing and probably to a lesser extent household furnishings that would be given away. Perhaps the representatives from the Salvation Army could indicate whether there is a problem that they see that should be addressed with food. But at least early on, I didn't get into it deeply with the captain, but early on, I didn't sense that was the big problem, and frankly, I wondered if we'd run into problems with wholesale grocers and that sort of thing, and so I didn't really want to borrow any problems that didn't have to be.
Representative Murrow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Miller, that's one thing that comes to mind to me, too, is that this is certainly a well-meaning bill, and it's well thrown out, but in fact, how do we prevent abuses? Should we, for example, name organizations like West Salvation Army and so forth?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that we have to borrow, anticipate abuse. I think the mechanics are here. That if the commissioner sees an abuse happening, they can do it. You see, this doesn't even make it mandatory. This just says the commissioner may, and it would be pretty easy for him to identify organizations that are obviously in the business of providing free goods to those in need. Salvation Army is certainly in that category, although the Red Cross is not active in this community. I think there is some activity in the Anchorage area, but I'm not sure about that. But in any case, there are certain organizations that are that pretty obviously would, the commissioner could qualify. If somebody came up here and called themselves the Razzle Dazzle Charity Incorporated or something like that, even if it was nonprofit, I think the commissioner's got the authority to look into it and say, hey, look, you don't have any record of this sort of thing. We're going to authorize this just for certain organizations. If it's a problem, I don't really think it's a problem. I think we can sit around the table and borrow a whole lot of problems, but I really don't think it's a problem. But if one develops, I think the fact that we're saying the commissioner may as opposed to the commissioner shall gives him flexibility to meet the problem.
Let the record show that Representative Benalberry joined us some time ago. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have a question from Senator Miller on some of the mechanics of the bill, and I suppose I can ask the person from the Salvation Army, but you mentioned that it was to be given away, and I've always known the Salvation Army to be in business, in essence, they sell their merchandise. So is this bill going to be a vehicle so that they'll be able to provide outlets and all, have like a chain of stores all over Southeast? I guess that's a question I have. I think it's our duty to play devil's advocate on these particular pieces of legislation. And I guess another concern I have is what if a person from Salvation Army wants to tour Southeast and he just threw a few boxes in his trunk and it would be a nice way for him to get around all of Southeast without having to pay for it. So those are two concerns I have on the piece of legislation.
Okay. First of all, this would not be for resale, for instance, at a store, a Goodwill type store or a thrift store like the Salvation Army does operate, for instance, here in Juneau. It sells things at an exceedingly low price. There's an awful lot of people in the lower incomes in this community that are dependent upon that wonderful service for their clothes and lots of household goods. So I doubt seriously that the Salvation Army makes any money on it. However, that aside, that is not the sort of distribution that this anticipates. When the captain described the bill to me, it would be, and if you want to, you can put the word free in there if you like, or to be distributed free to needy individuals and families, because this is not goods for resale in any respect, or if you might want to put that phrase in there. This is strictly when the Salvation Army, which is, I think, and I shouldn't always say the Salvation Army, because there are other churches as well that have a wonderful record of distributing all sorts of things to people in need. But they come to the Salvation Army comes to mind first, because they were the ones that proposed the bill for them to me. This is strictly so that if they identify a need, they'll at least have a vehicle, no pun intended, but they'll at least have a way to get these items over there. When I first started drafting the bill, I had it much longer and much more complicated. And I don't know, maybe we can start building on it. And all of a sudden, I had about 3 pages, and I decided it was just totally unnecessary. By saying the commissioner may, he could take care of almost all the problems, and including the problem you just described. I can't, in my wildest imagination, conceive of somebody in the Salvation Army trying to, fudge a free trip around Southeast or doing that. However, I'm sure that there are people in this world who would do that, or at least would think about it. But again, the commissioner has the authority here to say may. And if somebody has got one suitcase in the back and says, this is my free goods, I'd like a trip to Huna or to Angoon or to Cape or even Sitka, someplace like that, I'm sure that the regulation deal with this particular statute could accommodate those.
Representative Grimes.
Representative Miller, I was wondering, why do they need a van or a vehicle? Why couldn't they just transport freight?
Well, the Alaska ferries don't transport freight. No goods roll on the ferries unless they're on wheels. We don't have any sort of a cargo hold in the ferries. So, you have to put your goods either in a car or in a truck trailer or a van or something like that. If we had compartments like a cargo vessel does, then we wouldn't do it. But this, of course, minimizes the work on the part of the department. If they had to handle freight, then there would become a sizable expense for the department. It might have to have additional people on board to handle the freight, so to speak. But our ferry system doesn't handle freight, as it says, so it's just more, if space is available, one more van and one more car will roll on, and if there isn't space available, one more won't.
I'd let the record show that Representative Furness joined us some time ago. Representative Monroe?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have this is certainly a well-meaning bill, I said that before, but I have some of the same reservations that Representative Davis does, and that is that if a system can be abused, it will be abused. And human beings being what they are. And perhaps the addition of the word free next to the last line after distributed, between distributed and to, so it would read distributed free to needy individuals might help.
Sure. I'm really proud of that.
The insertion of the word unsold or something similar to that in the second line, the first line of the text, to the extent that unsold space is available, so that it is clear that what we're referring to here is space that was available or is available but has not been sold.
I don't think that's necessary, but I certainly don't see anything wrong with it. So,
thank you, Madam Chairman. President Miller, does the ferry system have this ability now to some degree, some latitude?
I don't think so, no.
Not at all.
No, I don't think so. The Division of Marine Transportation will be testifying in just a moment. You can ask them again. But my understanding is that the reason the Salvation Army came to me with the request for the bill was that they didn't have the authority right now to do this. Somebody had told them that. So, I think maybe in an emergency they probably would. I think the governor has dispatched the ferries, for instance, to a sinking ship one day down there near Ketchikan, and an extraordinary emergency. Maybe when the Tenneke Springs Thanksgiving Day spring, maybe the commissioner might have had extraordinary authority to do something like this. And perhaps did. I don't have any knowledge of it. I was out of town at the time. But on a day-to-day basis, they either don't have the authority, or if they do, they have refused to exercise it.
Madam Chair, just as a statement on this, I had a chance to read this over a couple of times, and at first blush, it's kind of an unusual bill, but then when you really look at it and look at what the Salvation Army does, and the importance of being able to give them that additional vehicle based upon their limited funding, it's a reasonable effort, particularly if the department does not have the latitude now to do that. It makes a lot of sense to
yeah.
get
it. Well, as I say, I would ask the department there.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wondered if it's the intention that most of the traffic that will be generated on the space of Abel basis will be intra-Alaska or between Seattle and Alaska.
No, this is a point that Chairman caught yesterday, and that frankly is the biggest hole I left in the bill. I'm glad she caught that yesterday, because it's not the intent to generate from Seattle.
Representative
Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I should preface my remarks by saying that I've lived in a community where customers had a lot of problems with one particular charitable organization, and they sometimes found themselves in the position where they were the ones that were being had by the charitable organization, and a lot of complaints. So I suppose that's. You know, not every community has had the same good experiences that you've had with charitable organizations. So I guess that's why I have a little bit more to play devil's advocate. But I think if we had language in the bill that suggested by Representative Maru, that would sort of take care of some of my fears, I suppose. I'm sure you've all been to some of these nonprofits or charitable organizations that had antique sections and pretty sophisticated business running. And somebody in Skagway has a secondhand store or whatever, and all of a sudden Salvation Army moves in and they're able to transport goods, and they could wipe out a small business in a little community, I would think. So if we can come up with some language that Maria suggested, I think it'd be a great bill. And
yeah.
It could
well,
be
I,
a great help.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the suggestions that both the chairman and Mr. Maru had. Instead of your antique thing being worried like that, I don't think the Salvation Army is going to transport antiques for distribution to the Navy.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Maybe I'm not seeing something, but it appears that we're reading more into this bill than meets the eye, and I agree that once you put it into law, it gives it some latitude, but I think it's quite plain here. So a van or vehicle transported under this section may contain only clothing and household furnishing that are to be distributed to needy individuals or family. In your particular instance, if a store having antiques want to give those away to needy families, I'd say let them do it. But I honestly don't see the kinds of horror stories that some people are conjuring up in their mind. I've had a long history of dealing with Salvation Army, particularly in Anchorage. It's an organization that is truly dedicated. I'm sure that there are others, and there can be some abuse, but my God, this is it's an ability that's not there. See, that's a lot of support.
If there are no further questions, Representative Miller, we'll call the next witness.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Russell. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Would you give your name for the record, please?
Sure. I am Lieutenant Bradford Russell. I'm the local commanding officer at the Salvation Army.
Do we have some questions, Mr. Russell? Do you have a statement you'd like to make prior to that?
I think Representative Miller did it quite succinctly. Frankly, I've only been in the state and the town since the 13th of January. I've been briefed on what this bill encompasses and some of the problems. Very simply, the Salvation Army in Juneau experiences a surplus of household items and clothing, and yet we see in the outlying communities and villages a desperate need for those same items. And we're just looking for a way to balance the supply and demand just a little bit.
Representative Schultz.
I'm just wondering, has the Salvation Army checked with the Coast Guard here to see if they can fly some stuff in, but that's not the way. In the interior, much of our stuff that is donated in the charitable organizations, Eielson Air Force Base, Fort Rich, so on and so forth, do a lot of that flying
my understanding that there's those capabilities in case of a disaster. Tenneke Springs was mentioned on Thanksgiving. That happened at that time. Also, I know the Air Force Reserve does some of that for Anchorage around the holiday season, mm-hmm. where they'll fly goods. But on a regular basis, to answer your question, we haven't checked, but I think that would be unlikely on a regular basis.
Representative
Perez,
did you have a question?
Yes, Madam Chairman. Lieutenant Russell, it makes a logical sense in that the ferry system makes a scheduled run to a lot of these communities. Do you have any idea as to the usage of this, how much goods or services or goods or articles or whatever that you may have going, and on how frequent a basis would you be utilizing the services?
I think that would be hard to ascertain. I would like to tell you where we are and what communities that the Salvation Army is located. Right now we have units in Angoon, Haines, Sitka, Ketchikan, Cake, Wrangell, Kuna, and Petersburg. We have working relationship with some of the other communities also, the local churches or other nonprofit organizations. I would imagine that because of the amount that might be shipped in a van and the need in a local community, that it wouldn't be that often to each community in the course of a year. You know, I would only imagine 2-3 shipments per community per year, or something along that line.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this would be sort of restocking of the stores? Is that what this
no,
no. anticipated? Well, I guess I'm not familiar with this community, so I don't know what kind of a thing you have in the various communities.
It is true in some communities, particularly larger communities. Salvation Army runs thrift stores, and the revenue generated therein is used for other programs that we provide. But we are talking here of distribution, free distribution, of these household goods and clothing to those who would come to the Salvation Army for that particular need. And no, we're not looking at stocking any thrift store or resale value or anything of that nature. This is free distribution.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the benefit of the record and Representative Furness, Lieutenant Russell, I would like to state that I have no problems whatsoever with the Salvation Army. When I was in college, I had a good friend whose parents were majors in the Army. However, I've had some problems, as has Representative Davis, with other charitable organizations. One that I have not been in contact with has been on the nationwide news during the last, nationwide television news during the last week. What I was saying before is that, and I would like to state it again, that if abuses can be put into a system, if the system can be abused, it sooner or later will be abused by somebody. I would seriously doubt that it would ever be anybody in the Salvation Army. But I did want to state for the record that I'm not speaking of Salvation Army, but just human nature being what it is.
Are there any further questions for Lieutenant Russell? Thank you very much, Lieutenant
Thank
Russell.
You.
We have with us Mr. Camp of DOT. Would you like to come forward and state your name for the record and testify on this bill?
My name is Joe Camp. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Transportation, specifically in charge of the Alaska Marine Highway. As Representative Miller stated, the Department of Marine Highway opposes the bill for a number of reasons. Basically, as has been testimony has been given and comments have been given, if it was just Salvation Army and their couple of vans of community per year, it would not give me a great deal of deal of difficulty. But according to the Department of Labor statistics, there are 892 organizations in the state of Alaska that would qualify for this transportation. 892 potential charitable organizations in the state. There are some other free transportation that we provide, and there are abuses. There are serious abuses with our senior citizens and with our handicap, and I'll go into those. If I may, for just a moment, we found that the senior citizen magazines in the lower 48 are carrying advertisements paid for by travel agencies saying free transportation in the state of Alaska. We'll sell you a ticket to Alaska and you can ride free up there, in effect. Some of them are saying that, and some of them not even saying that. They're selling packages. And as a specific example, We had the Columbia in October had a mechanical problem. She made it to Ketchikan, and we had a couple of days to repair it, to make up schedule. We turned her around and sent her back from Ketchikan to Seattle. After the trip, we made refunds for the people who were aboard that did not make it all the way to Skagway and back. We had a number of round trippers on board. We had some 60 senior citizens that were traveling, and they were very, very incensed that they got very little refund. Their passage had been paid from Seattle to Ketchikan and back, and they had free transportation within the state of Alaska. They had only paid for their cabin from Ketchikan to Skagway and back, and that was the only amount of refund, which was relatively small, and they didn't understand it. Letters to the governor, we spent an inordinate amount of time answering the hate mail we received over that refund. It brought to attention, that was the thing that focused my attention, on the abuses. We found that agents were doing something, in fact our senior citizen travel was not space available, in that they would make a reservation for a cabin and reserve a cabin or reserve a vehicle space and then only pay for the cabin or the vehicle when they had a reservation. So in fact it was not space available. We have corrected that, but we anticipate some unhappiness and some problems over that from people who have traveled before with a reservation, quote unquote, space available, and now no longer able to. We had a problem with our handicap. And this was a very unfortunate situation, but it's a type of abuses that people will do. In Seward, we had a van pull up shortly before the Testamina made her fall trip out the Aleutian chain with a group of handicapped people aboard who could not help themselves. The van pulled up shortly before the vessel left with no advance notification. It was truly space available, and there was space aboard. The people came aboard. Crew members had to assist them around. Some were mentally handicapped. Some were physically handicapped. And I took my hats off to the crew when I found out what they had to do, but it was a real burden on the crew and on many of the other passengers in assisting the people around. We believe in it. But we know now, we've contacted the agencies to make sure they send sponsors along to help assist these people. So that's the type of abuses that can occur. Again, if it was just the Salvation Army, I would have no problem with it. In our fiscal note, we've said that it won't cost us anything. It won't cost us anything in the sense that it is space available. In administrative time, in figuring out who are the real organizations and who are the bogus organizations, or who is trying to put something by the system and get some free transportation that they're is not really deserving, could, on the magnitude of this, we don't know, but it could require someone assigning someone to that problem almost full time, just working those problems. It takes a tremendous amount of my time in answering letters. I notice that the bill says we may. We don't have to. That word might as well not be in there, because if we choose to selectively say no to someone, the letters will come to the legislature. They'll contact their representative, their senator. The letters will come to the governor. And we spend hours of high-paid time answering these letters and looking into the situation. I feel that the abuses will occur. The other thing, it gives us a practical problem during, particularly during the summer months, and to some extent during the winter months on the smaller runs, the space available, because vans are loaded first. Just by the nature of the size of the van, all of our vans and trucks are loaded before the passenger cars. And we could get into a situation, if we are booked full, that we might have space available. We wouldn't know until we'd counted all the no-shows and the cars were aboard. We wouldn't be able to get the van aboard. Or if we loaded the van, took a chance and said we're going to have no-shows, we're going to have a space, load the van, then we might be delayed to unload cars and unload the van to get a paying passenger aboard. That's a practical situation that can happen and has happened in the past, with particularly with not with vans, but with automobiles, where we have moved crew members who travel on passes, remove them from the vessel. It's an easier problem, but it can be a problem. When we get those cars aboard and we have to move them off to get paying passengers aboard. So that is part of the reason, or actually the main reason that we're opposed to it. If it was just the Salvation Army or just any organization that's a well-known organization that are well-managed, we could probably get by with 892 organizations in the state. We're going to have people that are trying to put things over on us, and I'm sure will. We can't monitor it that well. The thing that I could live with very well, with no problem at all, in fact, we may have overstepped our authority because we did just that in the Thanksgiving Day storm, but if the bill was to be amended to provide this free transportation during declared emergencies, such as the Thanksgiving Day storm, where you have great need, then we would do it. I know we carried free material to Tenneke. We normally do not, as was pointed out, take freight, anything that's not on rolling stock. But in that case, we did carry for Salvation Army and for some other charitable organizations some boxes of materials over to Tenneke in particular, because Tenneke was so devastated by the storm. And the crew members pitched in with no overtime and everything else and helping carry it off the ship. So that's the type of comment that I could give for, you know, declared emergency be no problem.
Representative Prince?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Kemp, it appears that we may be able to amend the bill with three items here, in fact, four. One is, in effect, I'd like to explain to the sponsor of the members to take note of these. One is that the department is to develop a list of authorized organizations. These are just suggestions. And this would narrow down that scope of organization, the Salvation Army Church organization, or whatever. The second consideration would be that additional organization must petition the commissioner for written justification to be included on the list. The third would be any violators would be excluded from further participation. And probably fourth, to clear the declared emergency, since now you don't have that kind of latitude. With those four enhancements of the bill, would it be acceptable to you?
It would be much more acceptable than it is now. We would spend administrative time in sorting out the violations. Certainly would be more acceptable than it is now.
Well, Madam Chairman, again, in 10 years, I can emphasize here not wanting to open up the floodgates totally, but it appears that if you have the ability of developing at least an initial list and some type of a process that organizations could formally petition to be included on there, at least you have some initial control.
Yes.
What I would suggest, Madam Chairman, is perhaps that we get with the sponsor and have him incorporate these kinds of items into the bill to make it more valid.
Representative
Halbig. Madam Chairman, I wanted to talk for a moment, inquire for a moment about this hardship of loading the vans on a space available basis. Do you know in advance what your volume of capacity is, the reserve capacity is?
Yes, we do.
So
if we have reserve, but we also have people show up standbys at the last moment.
Do you have the statistics on about how many show up today of passage without an advance reservation?
It of course depends on the time of year and the route that you're serving on.
You could get that back for each.
We could get that pretty close. Yes, sir.
So that if the charitable organizations were to ask for that space more than 3 days in advance or 5 days in advance or a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance, you would pretty much be able to tell by the historical statistics whether or not you were going to have that kind of space available.
Within the Southeast and Southwest, yes, I think so.
And then you'd be able to load that van on and not have to worry about taking it off for a paying customer in 90% of the circumstances.
Well, unfortunately, that's not always the case, because our volume, we do have statistics on the volume. We have by month, not by day of the week or week, but by month for, I guess, every year that the system has been operating, at least for the last 10 years that I've looked at, that show the vehicles loaded and discharged, passengers loaded and discharged at every port that we serve it. So we can give a historic balance. we had a situation on a standby last week, and if you have an Alaskan that is being displaced that can't get on board, whether the vessel is full of paying passengers or not, it's very, very difficult to understand. We had a situation coming out of Seattle on the a week ago, last Friday night. We had a lady from Sitka who was in Seattle and was on a standby to get her vehicle aboard, and would not accept that she was on a standby. Her comments were that I see a lot of non-Alaskan people. She was number 24 on the standby list. And they said, there's some people with non-Alaskan addresses. How come they're ahead of me? Well, they had got on the standby list ahead. Incidentally, she got on the vessel, but we spent about 6 hours of time, and the governor's office spent a couple of hours of time answering these questions. And I think we have better things to do than answer these type of questions.
Well, I'm not sure that relates to the problem, and I'm not sure how often those kinds of problems arise. But I know from my own dealings with the ferry system over the years, I think you do have a marketing problem dealing with Alaskans on their reservations.
True. That's
true. I
think
that ought to be addressed, but that's a separate issue. One comment, I happen to think from what you said and from my knowledge of how I've had to load my vehicle on the ferry over the years, that it's not an insurmountable problem because of the reserve space situation. And I, too, am worried about abuses and believe that human nature being what it is, we are going to have problems from time to time, no matter what operations are going. But I noticed that you mentioned that it was a handicap situation, and I would just ask you to consider if that really was an abuse or a mistaken communication with people who are not really familiar with the ferry operation. I think it's wonderful that the crew reacted the way they did. I'm glad that you supported them in that.
Yes,
but I wouldn't use that as an example of abuse because it seems more like the
communication. Yes, sir.
The
bad choice.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to bring something out just for the purpose of discussion, and that is to get your comments, perhaps the sponsor's comments. Rather than a 100% discount, what if we had, say, a 50% discount for a charitable organization so that they are, in fact, paying something? And this might perhaps discourage people who would tend to abuse the system otherwise.
I don't know that that would tend to abuse them, because if someone could get a 50% discount, they would possibly manufacture it, and that would create problems. I would certainly be willing to do it, but I don't know that that would help any to preclude abuses any different than the free transportation. And probably 60 or 70% of the time, we would know well that we could get that van aboard, but it's that other 20 or 30% of the time where the problems would occur and could be very difficult for us.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think the committee here is supportive of a situation as it was explained earlier, the Salvation Army going and doing what they would like to do in these communities, and that's pretty clear. But I guess you referred to the 892 organization. What kind of abuses do you see happening among the other 891 that would cause the problems that you're laying out?
The type of abuses, I could see we could become a free distribution network. Organization X has organizations in Juneau, Hoonah, Angoon, and Cake. And, of course, the organizations are smaller in those organizations. It might be for free distribution, but the communities are small enough. They're not going to need a full van load going. And I can see that it would be a stop-off van service. If it's an unaccompanied van, then we have to load it and unload it, which takes time. And we don't have a lot of time in those communities with our schedules. We would take the van off at one community. It would stock their store, come back on, move to their store, their distribution center, move to the next community and stock theirs. And then they suddenly decide, well, Angoon has got too much, we've got to move it back to Cake. It can lead to sloppy management on their part. If it's free transportation, they'll move it back and forth as they need to. Now, that's maybe a wild example, but that's a type of abuse. Other types of abuses would be one that potentially you brought up earlier. A guy comes up with a pickup truck and he's got a load of furniture in the back and says, I'm representing such and such church and we're delivering these to our church members in Angoon. It's free furniture. And we have no way of really checking that if it's a church group. And with the list, that may help, an approved list. But we don't know whether he's taking that furniture to him. We have to make a judgment determination whether that's he's moving that furniture for himself or he's moving it over to give away. And that's the type of thing we will have come up, because they occur regularly. It's wild stories we get.
Are there any further questions of Mr. Camp?
Just a question. Could you end up with a nonprofit that is actually state funded transporting goods on the ferry system?
Charitable? No, probably. We receive. Probably 4 or 5 requests per month. We had 2 last week for agencies requesting free transportation. One was the Arts Council, and they have a art display that they want, and I can't remember exactly what it was. They want to move to the various communities on a schedule and want us to carry this art in a van and from throughout the Southeast. They had a long schedule. We had to deny that. The second one was from a television station. It was going to do, it was not a public television station, it was a private television station that worked for profit, but in their story, they said, we are doing a free documentary on Alaska Native dancing and art, and we're going to, I forgot exactly where they were going, we're going to film this. We want transportation for our crew and van to go over to film this at nonprofit. We're going to bring it back. We'll present you with a copy of the tape you can show on the ship, so that may even be a form of payment that they were going to make, and they were going to air this free, and there was going to be no cost to the Native community. We denied that also. But these type of requests come in 4 or 5 times a month from organizations such as that.
Representative
Elbray.
Representative Schultz reminds me of a question. I had a similar question about distinguishing charitable from nonprofit. And I would just wonder if you want to consider amending this to limit it to United Way organizations. That would be any help. That would eliminate maybe some of the pop-up type service organizations that don't have the stream of reliability. And you might want to say United Way organizations that are permanently located in Southeast Alaska.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Please do, Representative Miller. In fact, I was just
going to
call you back.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I just want to say that sometimes some of us that are the most supportive of the ferry systems get very discouraged when they always see the problems instead of the opportunities. And it's not an unusual occurrence, as with senior citizens. For instance, the department identifies the senior citizen free transportation as a problem. They say that people are reserving cabins but not paying their fares. Well, that's ridiculous. I don't know why they would even allow that. It should be just very simple that says you don't reserve a cabin unless you're a full fare paying passenger. You can't reserve a Pullman on Amtrak if you don't have first class space reserved. So I mean that's not a problem. I think it's ridiculous that anybody would even allow somebody to reserve a cabin on a stateroom, reserve a stateroom, if they don't have a ticket. So, you know, that's not a problem. I put that in the classification as a goof. We talk about the problem of the handicaps, and as a matter of fact, I just got through just before the session started, was assigned to do a story on cruise ships to Alaska for the Christian Science Monitor newspaper. So I've just, by coincidence, been reviewing all of the cruise ships that are coming to Alaska. And in every one of them, there's a little space in the back there where they talk about handicap. And they welcome handicapped people on board the ships. There's 2 or 3 of them that can't handle them because they've got some problems, the older ships, and they've got some problems. But those that can handle them welcome them on board with the simple provision that the handicap has to be described, and that if the handicap is such that it needs an attendant, somebody has to be, for instance, in the stateroom with them, that can accommodate that handicap. But that's, you know, there again, that's an opportunity. That's not a problem. You have to accommodate the opportunity, but that should not be described as the reason why you don't do things. Accommodating those opportunities are reasons that we should support the ferry system. And when that's listed as problems, it really begins to frustrate me. It frustrates me when we talk about 892 charitable organizations that are going to rip off this bill. That's absolutely ludicrous. The Boy Scouts up in Barrow are not going to be shipping anything to Angoon. You know, some ministerial association that's perhaps a nonprofit in Fort Yukon isn't going to be abusing this system in Southeast Alaska. I mean, to use a figure like 892, that's just absolutely, you know, ridiculous. We say that, you know, the words dealing with this would be almost full time. It's another ridiculous statement that nobody around this table, or I think standing beside and back of me, really thinks that anybody's going to be spending almost full time on this. It's just going to take a little extra time. But that's what the people that are down there at the ferry system, and most of us that support the ferry system, think that they're supposed to be doing, just putting in, you know, their 7.5-hour day, and I know a lot of them put in more than 7.5-hour days, and I appreciate it. But that's what they're hired to do, is to serve the public, not identify why a little extra effort every once in a while is not going to be, you know, they talk about the fact that they have to load the vans first. I've watched lots of loading operations on there, and on a day when it's going to be tight, I don't think that you have to load the vans first. I mean, that van. I don't think there's any reason why, on an occasional basis, if it looks like it's going to be tight, you wait and see if there's room. And then if there's room, that van goes aboard. If there's not, and I'm not talking about reshuffling everybody else, if there's not room, that van doesn't go aboard. I mean, we're just inventing problems that don't need to exist. We talk about this giant list of 892 making a major distribution network. You know, there's not that much charitable need in Southeast Alaska to clog the system. We're just identifying problems that don't exist. I think some of the suggestions, including Mr. Furness's, there are good fine-tuning. I think that's, you know, committee work at its best. If you take what I think is a good concept and you improve the bill, I think that's excellent. But I don't think you oppose it. Incidentally, the suggestion was made, maybe we ought to make this 50%. I would strongly oppose that provision for this simple reason. An organization like the Salvation Army, for instance, already is hard-pressed for every buck they get, and other churches in the same category. If we charge them 50 cents for this, that 50% for this, that translates out to X number of dollars that aren't going to be given in Christmas baskets to the needy at Christmas time or their other very vital services that they provide, you know, the rest of the year. I think on the space available business, in the first place, if it was 50%, you couldn't make it space available. At least the tradition in the industry, the transportation industry, is if you give a reduced fare, it's no longer space available, it's reserved, and then the state could conceivably start losing because they could bump 100% fare paying transportation. So anyway, those are my thoughts on the testimony of the department.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question, something just come to mind. In my district, I think you've got some too, I don't know, maybe there's some down in the Southeast also. Living Word Mission, for example, is a church organization and very large landholders. And they trade, they own the lumber mill in Fairbanks, I know. And many times they trade. If there's a group in Arizona or whatever, or Southeastern, that grows a commodity or whatever, they may trade house logs for rutabagas or potatoes or whatever, you know. And I'm just wondering if those, they have the capability of paying because they're pretty rich. The mission in the interior has their own airplanes and things of that nature, and their own pilots and they fly around. They would be eligible for this if that was falling under the category of clothing and that nature, wouldn't they?
Well, I wouldn't think so. But if they wanted to come down and send some free clothing or household goods out to a village,
yeah, you have some of the Living Word, don't you? The Living Word.
There's a community near Huna that I think is affiliated loosely with that organization, called just the Farm in some instances. It's an evangelical Christian community that went into the wilderness and cut it out, and they're maintaining a fine,
right.
fine lifestyle over there.
Communities in my district that have are over 200 people, and they're all associated with that.
But it, I don't see anything that they would do that would create a, that would be a threat, because in the first place, if they were making an actual trade, rutabagas for clothes, that's no longer it's no longer free distribution. It, you know, there's barter is a form of payment, and knowing the nature of that organization, I'm not even slightly worried that they would abuse it, because I know some of the people over there. But I don't think they would really come under it anyway, and I don't really see any way they could work up a network within the interior groups for anything. You certainly can't ship logs under the terms of this legislation.
Well, I was just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Rowe.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I certainly like the intent of the bill. Mm-hmm. If the entire society that we live in were as honest and well-meaning as the people in this room, it certainly would be a beautiful place to live, and there would be no problem whatsoever with a bill of this nature. However, I've seen abuses in the past by so-called charitable nonprofit organizations, not by the Salvation Army, not by ISIS, I don't think, by any of the United Way organizations, but there have been abuses, and given the opportunity there will be abuses in the future, for example, if a person wanted to go from Homer to Kodiak, and he called himself the XYZ Church of the Lovely Redemption, and he had a pickup, and he put one chair in the back of the pickup, that would qualify him. And that would get him to Kodiak, and he could give the chair away. In fact, when he got to Kodiak, the first person he met on the street, and come back the same way. This may be ridiculous, but that sort of abuses, if allowed, could certainly well occur. And I can sympathize with the commissioner on this sort of thing. Representative Pinalvery had an idea on limiting it to United Way organizations. That brings to mind something which is done, as a matter of fact, on gambling permits. To get a gambling permit, you must apply for it, first of all, and there are certain restrictions. There's a whole list of types of organizations that can get gambling permits. Fraternal organizations and churches and this and this and this, and you have to specify what type of gambling you want to do, whether it's bingo or full tap or something else. You also must have been chartered and in operation for 5 years before you apply. You can't apply until you've actually been around 5 years. That sort of thing would certainly cut down and perhaps eliminate the abuses, but certainly if abuses can occur, they will.
Let me say something about the United Way. All the organizations within the United Way are excellent organizations, but there are several, for instance, church groups. In fact, most church groups do not belong to the United Way. Salvation Army does, I believe, in fact, I'm pretty sure of it, by the nature of their outreach. But any number of churches who have a great history of charity and sharing and with their neighbors, would not qualify under this. I think the answer to the abuse that apparently worries some individuals is the suggestion that somebody else made earlier. Let the commissioner draw up a list, and if any organization wants to be included, they can they can apply to get on the list. And one of the qualifications the commissioner might very well set up is that they have to have been an organization, have been in business for a certain number of years. I'm not sure that's a valid point or not, but if it is, the commissioner could do it under the terms of this, because it says the commissioner may. And if somebody shows up there wanting a free trip to Kodiak with a chair in the back, I guess I've got a different view than you do. I think the agent says, hey, who are you trying to kid, buddy? And if you ever appeal that decision, I think the commissioner would say, who are you trying to kid, buddy? And if somebody wrote to your local legislator, I'd hope the local legislator would have the integrity to say, who are you trying to kid, buddy? I mean, people aren't that gullible, I don't think. But nevertheless, I do agree we should plug every loophole we can. And let me say this, too. There is going to be, someplace down the line, there's going to be some abuse. I'm sure there's going to be some abuse. Some people have tried to abuse the permanent fund dividends. Yet I happen to think that's, the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I recognize that there's going to be an abuse every once in a while on the thing. Somebody's going to abuse anything you do. But if it's going to have an overall very good effect, then you just recognize the abuse, you do everything you can to cut them down, but you don't, use that old cliche, you don't throw the baby out with the wash, you just try to figure out what the abuses are and plug that hole if you can. But you don't negate the whole program just because somebody someplace, sometime, is going to find a way to, go around the system a little bit.
I think we've come up with some excellent ideas here. I wonder if it would be amenable to the committee to have staff get together with Representative Furness and Representative Miller or whoever else would like to fine-tune this and have them come back with a work draft, and we'll take it up at another time.
So move, Madam Chair.
So we could move the staff get together and fine-tune the bill, and we'll bring it up another time. Are there any objections? No objections, so ordered.
Again, thank you, Madam Chair, and I once again commend you for your eye-opening hour of meeting. Thank you very much.
If there's no further business to come before the committee, the transportation meeting is adjourned at 8:02.